encumbered with a load of care. If that describes you this morning, we got some good news. God will be with us. Please open your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the first 17 verses. Just to get context, we're going to be really looking at verse 13 most of all. But just to kind of get the lay of the land, we're going to start at verse 1 and work our way through verse 17. You know, there's a place where we can go to find absolute truth, that God's word is faithful and true, that you can build your life for an eternity upon God's faithful, inerrant, and infallible word. This is God's word for you and me this morning. John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. That's as far as we'll read. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for your word and how precious it is to us. It is indeed the bread of life. We thank you that you give us words that we can live for an eternity by. Your words are truth, and we thank you for them. They are living and active, and they accomplish your will. And we pray that your will would be accomplished through your word this morning in our hearts and in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Corporal Charles Jean Abril. United States Marine Corps, June 10th, 1951. This young boy, 19 years old, 2 months from being 20, from Terre Haute, Indiana. Here's the write-up for Corporal Charles Jean Abril. For conspicuous gallantry, at the risk of his own life, above and beyond the call of duty while serving as fire team leader in Company E, in action against the enemy aggressor forces, while advancing with his platoon in an attack against a well-concealed and heavily fortified enemy hill positions, Corporal Abril voluntarily rushed forward through an assaulting squad, which was pinned down by a hail of intense and accurate automatic weapons fire from a hostile bunker situated on commanding ground. Although previously wounded by an enemy hand grenade fragments, he proceeded to carry out a bold, single-handed attack against the bunker, exhorting his comrades to follow him, sustaining two additional wounds as he stormed toward the emplacement. He resolutely pulled out the pin from a grenade clutched in his hand and hurled himself bodily into the bunker with a live missile still in his grasp, fatally wounded in the resulting explosion, which killed the entire enemy gun crew within the stronghold. Corporal Abril, by his valiant spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of certain death, served to inspire all his comrades and contributed directly to the success of his platoon in obtaining its objective. His superb courage and heroic initiative sustain and enhance the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life for his country. Charles Jean Abril. I was looking at Medal of Honor citations this week. It's always moving to hear these stories. You think of those who have given their life for our country. It's sad, but I am so grateful. We all stand here today in a free country because of those who have given their lives and sacrificed themselves for us. Corporal Abril is one of over 3,500 Medal of Honor recipients, most of whom gave their life for their country. There's an inspiring quote from Nathan Hale. Many of you probably know it. During the Revolutionary War, they were looking for volunteers, for someone to look for enemy camps for the British on New York, on Manhattan, actually. And Nathan Hale volunteered and went forward, and they ended up catching him. He was a spy, and they brought him to the gallows to die. And he has a famous quote saying, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." That's all he could give, was just his life. He wished he had more to give. I'm reminded also of my father-in-law, who over 50 years ago died he was a Marine pilot. He died in a training mission in Pensacola, Florida. I'm sure many of you have similar stories of sacrifice and service to our country. But our theme this morning is loving as friends. And Jesus says these words just days before he gives his life. "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." Our theme this morning is loving as friends. We're going to look at three aspects of that theme. First of all, what is it? What is it to mean loving as friends? What is friendship? The second point is, who are your friends? Who are the ones that we're supposed to love as friends? And the third point is, how to love as friends, how to be a friend. So the first point, what is friendship? What does it mean to love as a friend? Well, don't have to look too far in Scripture. Genesis 2, just the second chapter into the Bible, you see God say, it is not good for man to be alone. So he made him a helpmate, a helper. None of the animals would do. He needed a friend. He needed somebody to come beside him, like him. And I don't know about you, but imagine your life, what it would be like if you didn't have any friends. And if your family's your friend, I guess you'd have to not count them either. No friends. What a lonely place this would be. There's many studies on loneliness, and you actually live longer if you have friends. You have less disease, evidently. You live longer with friends. You know, prison's a tough place, but the worst punishment in prison is solitary confinement. This is how important friendship is. We need each other. We can accomplish so much more with all of us working together. Friendship is eternal. You might be wondering how that is possible, but think with me for a second. In the beginning, God, again, very early on in Scripture, the first verse, in the beginning, God. Well, who is God? God is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before the creation of the world, before anything was made, they were friends. You see it in verse 9, if you didn't see that a little bit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The Father loved the Son. Before the creation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were loving each other. They were buddies. They were friends. Friendship is eternal. What is friendship? Friends love unconditionally. The Greek word for love, and as it's mentioned many times here, is agape. It's this unconditional love that gives without even thinking of itself. Unconditional. That's how a friend loves. He talks about abiding. I don't know if you saw that. Abide in me and I in you, verse 4. Friends have to abide. They have to have communication. They have to have contact with one another to sustain some sort of friendship, if you will. You need to spend time. You need to abide with each other. We also see in our verse 13, friends sacrifice. You saw that. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You might not think friendship is so sacrificial, and yet a true friend sacrifices anything for you. And hopefully you would too for your friends. You would give all that you have and sacrifice it, because that's what friends do. They love each other and they give sacrificially. Friends also are vulnerable and transparent. You see that in verses 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I'm an open book. I'm vulnerable. I'm transparent. And that's what true friends are. They're vulnerable and transparent. Open to love and be loved. God calls you his friend. Now, every religion out there, if they thought of God as a friend, it would be blasphemous. It's ridiculous to think of a transcendent, holy God as your buddy, as your friend. But in Christianity, God brings us close to himself through Christ. There's no longer a barrier of sin keeping us from him. You think of that torn in the Holy of Holies, we're now open to be in God's presence. He brings us close to himself through Christ. That's the only way that God can be your friend, is if you come to him through Christ. Blasphemous in other religions, and yet in Christianity, God comes near to us and we come near to him. The love of friendship gives all it has because it's worth it for your friend. I don't know why it made me think of my dad and how he took such good care of my mom. Just this love as a friend that sacrifices itself and gives until it hurts, it seems. Well, the second point is, who are your friends? He calls us to love. Well, he loves us. Abide in me and I in you. So we have to abide in him. But as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. He calls us to love one another. So who are we to love? We're to love God and to love one another. We see in our verses. Seems pretty easy, right? These are the summary of the whole Ten Commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not so easy to do. God calls us his friends, and he says that you did not choose me, but I chose you. God saw you from eternity, and he chose you to be his friend. It's pretty amazing. Many think of God as this kind of ogre with all these commandments, nitpicking everything you do. Oh, look what you did. You did something wrong. Oh, you did something wrong again. Hey, stop it. Many think of God that way, but for some reason that seems the God I know and see in Scripture is not so much that way. I see him as the prodigal son's father. He's just waiting for you to come. His father didn't judge him for what he did. He embraced him. He put a ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. He loved him as a friend. God chose you in love to be his friend. His grace and mercy choose you. His love chooses you. You would never choose him. In your sin, of yourself, you would never choose him. But he chose you to be his friend, to love and to cherish, to give his son for you. And he talks about this fruit that will last, this friendship, if you will, that somehow lasts for an eternity. Eternal life given to you and to me, to those that we are to love one another. This friendship comes to all of us through Christ. God's love is not something to be selfish with. His friendship isn't something to hoard for yourself. It's something to share. Kind of like what we do with Good News Club, to share that love, to share that friendship that he has given to you and to me. Share it with everyone. Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Your neighbor? Is your neighbor your friend? I don't know. Your waiter? Is your waiter your friend if you go out to eat? A lot of it's your perspective, right? We always say, friend or foe? Who are you? Are you a friend or are you a foe? If I treat you as a friend, maybe I've gained a friend. But if I treat you as a foe, well, it's probably pretty guaranteed it's not going to go well for our friendship or relationship or whatever it is. God calls us to see each other as friends, to love each other as friends. Every person that God puts into your life is an opportunity for you to be a friend, to love them as a friend, the way that God loved you. Well, the third point, how to be a friend. To be God's friend, he calls us to keep his commandments. You see that in verse 14? You are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, that doesn't sound that easy to do all his commands. This is the prerequisite to be a friend. That doesn't sound easy. Nonetheless, he gives us his spirit to help us be his friend and do what he commands. Out of gratitude of what he's done for you and me, through his spirit, we can obey what he's commanded us. Not easy, but... And it doesn't add to your salvation. We know that. Your good works are filthy rags, really, it seems. They don't really amount to too much. Nonetheless, he calls us to do what he commands. Only what's done through his spirit will be for his glory. And out of gratitude, we want to serve him for what he's done for us. When you think about what he's done for you, what would you want to do for him? Share that friendship, how to be a friend. Share it with your friends. Share it with one another, as it says in our verses, which gives fruit ultimately for eternity. That's good friendship. Friendship for eternity. Why did he lay down his life for you? It's a question I had. How to be a friend. He loved you so much, he laid down his life for you. The sacrificial love. We see in Hebrews 12 where it talks about, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He saw you when he was on the cross. That gave him joy as he endured the cross. Seeing you, that joy he set before him, that you would believe and trust in him. So that he endured the cross joyfully. Ultimately, he receives the punishment for our sin. It's this double imputation. We receive his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, and he receives our sin. Our sin is imputed to him on the cross, and his righteousness is imputed to us. About a little over 20 years ago, I was stationed over in Okinawa with the Marine Corps, and while my family was still in temporary housing, I got deployed to the Philippines. And we were there mostly because, well, for a lot of reasons, but mostly because there were these two missionaries who had gotten kidnapped in the Philippines. They were spending time away from their kids for their anniversary at this nice resort in the Philippines when these terrorists came and stole them away. They'd been over a year in captivity when I got to this little island called Basilan, way south in the Philippines. Well, there were a lot of special forces that were there, ultimately looking for these terrorists, these Abu Sayyaf characters who had kidnapped these two missionaries. And ultimately, there was this firefight. And the terrorists, before they were to flee, wanted to kill all of those who were in captivity. Their names are Martin and Gracia Burnham. And in his final act of love, Martin threw himself on his wife and took the bullets for her. And she survived. She ended up writing a book called In the Presence of My Enemies. But she survived. She was injured, but survived. But he did not survive. He gave his life for her. It really made me think of what Christ has done for us. It reminded me of what he did on the cross, throwing himself on the cross to shield you from the bullets of judgment for your sin. What a friend we have in Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. I don't know what God is calling you to do for him today or tomorrow, but I know he's calling you as a friend. You're his friends. How will you respond to his love for you? May God show you his friendship. May he show you his love and grace and mercy today. Only his love and sacrifice can save us, save you and me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word and how precious it is. We thank you that you have not left us by ourselves here on earth, but that you sent a comforter to be with us. Indeed, your friendship is incredible in our lives. Your love for us is overwhelming at times. We pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to see your love. Help us to see your friendship and live our lives out of gratitude for what you've done for us on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let me read a portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For what I received from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as